hurts and give yourself fully to your husband when you've been wounded by him? How can I freely give myself to my husband who I adore because he struggled with an addiction to pornography? How do you enjoy the bond of sexual intimacy when your husband has not been faithful? How do you trust again enough to give yourself? Again, these are just really good questions. They're hard questions. And they're a little different, but they're kind of the same. Just really hurts a whole lot when you feel betrayed, when whether you have been betrayed because your husband has been sexual with another person, or been in an emotional relationship with someone else, or even just Facebooked with somebody and hidden it from you. And you know, it's just the women that I talk to who discover their husbands are involved with pornography, they feel just as violated and as betrayed as the women whose husbands have been unfaithful with another woman. It just all feels horrible. It just wounds, and most of us women don't feel really secure about our bodies. Would you say this is true? Is anybody here 100% happy with their body? I don't think so, because we're women. And the first thing a woman thinks if her husband is looking at pornography, or if he's thinking about another woman, or if he's involved with another woman, is, I wasn't enough. I wasn't beautiful enough. I wasn't sexy enough. I wasn't. And what did I do? Because I don't want to do that again. I just had my hands like this. I don't think I did anything. It takes time to trust again. And but if a husband is repentant and wants your relationship to work, at some point you have to trust, because marriage is about trust and it's about intimacy. And you can't do that unless the Holy Spirit empowers you. And if you ask him, he will. I would encourage you to get in a Bible study, studying what Dr. Julie Slattery and I just wrote, the DVD and the workbook, because we deal in there. What do you do if your husband's involved in pornography? And I feel what Julie wrote is some of the best I've ever seen about that. I feel it would help you a lot. And the workbook and the videos are out there. And it is a Bible study that is centered in God's Word. And you watch the video and go home and do that week's homework. And if there's been pain in your relationship, I think that it would help. If you just want to grow in your relationship, I think that it would help. I know it would. And if you haven't had an older friend, a mature friend, a counselor, a woman in the church where you are, if you haven't talked to someone and asked them to pray over you and to pray with you as you try to move forward in your marriage, I encourage you to do that, because you probably feel very alone. And God can rebuild And one of Satan's lies is, if you have big problems in the area of sexual intimacy, whether it's your sin, your husband's sin, you can never really be good again. And I could stand up here all night and tell you that that's a lie and tell you stories to prove it. So I just encourage you, God wants to bring intimacy back and wants your intimacy to be better than it was before. And he will take you step by step. And if you don't know what those steps are, please seek out someone and ask them for help. I wish there was an easy answer to those questions, but I just want to tell you that God can heal. God can heal. One of my friends found out that her husband was sexually abusing their teenage daughter. And at the same time, he was having an affair with her good friend. And he was put in jail. He couldn't go home for 5 years. He repented, called the pastor, put himself under the pastor's authority. He wanted to become different. And I watched my friend work to forgive him. I watched the daughter forgive him. I was at her wedding when she asked her father to walk her down the aisle and give her away. And my friend says, 13 years now after this happened, that their marriage is better than it's ever been, and their sexual intimacy is better than it's ever been. Okay, ladies, that isn't supposed to happen. I can't think of anything worse than having my husband abuse one of our daughters. But I tell you that story to say that God is a God who redeems. And he is a God who heals. Would you just pray with me right now? I want to pray for all of you who have been hurt by your husbands. And I want to ask God to bring healing. Oh, Father, my heart just is broken as I read these cards and see the pain. And Lord, you see each woman's heart. You know the ones who ask the questions, the ones who have the pain and didn't ask the questions. And I ask you, God, first of all, just to pour down hope, because some of these women feel hopeless. God, your name is hope. Would you just sprinkle down hope over your women right now? And God, you are the gentle healer. And I ask you in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ to give hope for healing, to give hope to trust again, to give hope to forgive. God, you know the steps each woman should take to restore trust and to restore intimacy. God, you are the healer. Would you pour down your healing in this room? And bring hope. I thank you that you are the healer, and I praise you for what you will do in these precious women and in their marriages. Amen. What if the Holy Spirit is only in the heart of the wife? Well, I believe it says in my Bible and in yours that if one member is a believer, that they sanctify the whole relationship. But I will just tell you that I have seen men come to Christ because their wife became an exciting lover to them. And when the husband found out that it was God who showed her how to be that, he got real interested in her God. I remember one woman who came up to me and she said, "Oh, my husband, he's just so of this earth, and that's all he thinks about. And I want to be spiritual." Guess what I told her she could do to become spiritual? She could begin by loving her husband physically, because God said that was spiritual. And that man came to Christ. Please review for us the names of the books you gave us as gifts from the gift bags and a bit of explanation and how they will help us regarding sexual intimacy. Okay, I'm not sure I remember what books were in the gift bags, but I think that in one of them was the workbook, Passion Pursuit, that has just come out last month, that Dr. Julie Slattery, who used to be the one interviewing people on Focus on the Family, that Julie and I wrote, and in one of them was the DVD where we teach together. And Julie's 44 and I'm 70, so she's the age of my children. So we have two generations teaching about sexual intimacy, and Julie has authority because she's a psychologist, a biblical psychologist, which is almost unheard of. And I have wisdom because I'm old. So, no degrees, but lots of years. I think the last book was Intimacy Ignited, that my husband and I and my friend Lorraine and her husband wrote. And it is a popular commentary on the Song of Solomon, a marriage book, and a Bible study that is about the sexual relationship in marriage. And I think that particularly if you and your husband, if you need help in talking about your sexual intimacy, that doing that book together could really help you. My husband and I are both young, but do not have sex very often. I think maybe deep down it's because I don't initiate it, because I feel like he doesn't deserve it. I know. I think other women can identify with this. I know this isn't right. When we do have sex, it can be hard to enjoy because I end up feeling bitter. We argue over our lack of sex. What do I do? You know, this dear, precious woman, I think if she really looks at the words she wrote, she will see that they probably spend more time upset and bitter and arguing about the fact that they don't have sex very often. If she just took all that time and initiated with her husband and they made love, I think it would be a lot better. And you know, my Bible doesn't say, Linda, if your husband is a perfect husband and if he does everything he's supposed to, then you intoxicate him with your love. It just, you know, it doesn't say that. It just says that we are to love him. I look at Ephesians 5 when it says that I'm to be submissive to my husband and I'm to respect him. It doesn't say, Linda, If he's the godliest man you know, respect him. It just says, respect him. And it doesn't say to the husband, there's no conditions. Love your wife as Christ loved the church if she's the perfect Proverbs 31 woman. It doesn't say that. He's just supposed to love his wife as his own body and love his wife as much as Christ loved the church, which is much harder than what the wife is asked to do. And I think the real issue for all of us is we feel we try harder than our husband does. We read more books on marriage. You even come to hear this crazy woman who's 70 talk about sex. I mean, you know, the women are usually more involved. And we think, well, he doesn't care as much as I do, so why should I reach out? You know, at the judgment seat of Christ, God isn't going to say to me, Linda, you know, I do realize this man I gave you, Jody Dillo, he's a very complicated man. And I know sometimes it was hard for you to understand him. And he's such an intellectual. Sometimes it's hard. You can never win an argument. But understanding all those things, how did you do as a wife? He's just going to say, Linda, were you faithful? And I can't make choices for anybody else. I can't make them for my husband. I've tried. Doesn't work. I can't make them for my children. I've tried. Doesn't work. I can't make them for my 10 grandchildren. I've even tried that. It doesn't work. I can only make choices for me. And God just says to me, it's required of a servant that she be found faithful. And so when I look in the scripture and it says that I am to love my husband, that he's to rejoice in the wife of his youth, that my breasts are to satisfy him all times, and I have said, God, what did you mean by that? And that he is to be intoxicated and in ecstasy with my sexual love. And it says always. That means in every season, at all times. So I would encourage this woman to say, God, would you show me how to love my husband? You know, I feel like he doesn't deserve it. And this sweet woman even says, I know it's not right. But we do use sex as a weapon, don't we? And God says, would you just love this man? In every season, all the time. When a couple is in their later years and one is on medication that has greatly reduced their interest in sex, what does the other one, me, do? The first thing you do, and there are many medications that really decrease sexual drive. High blood pressure medicine can do it. Antidepressants can do it. There are many, but there are also antidepressants that don't do that. And a woman called me just a few months ago, and her husband had gone on an antidepressant, and he couldn't perform sexually. And I said, has he gone back to the doctor and said, this isn't working? Can you suggest another medication? She said, no. I said, well, that's the first thing you do. Because there are medications that don't have that side effect. So I would encourage her to do that. There are natural products that some have found helpful. Perhaps Viagra or Cialis would help him if there isn't another medication that he can be on. Another question was, what does a wife do if during menopause her sexual desire just leaves, kind of just walks out the door? And that's because of a lowering of testosterone in her body. This happened to me. Within a 2-week period, all of my sexual desire and response left. And so I started calling doctors and going to see them. I wasn't going to settle for that. And I'm on what I call a hormone cocktail. It's a bioidentical hormones, so they do not harm your body. Having blood work done and getting on this hormone cocktail of 4 different kinds of hormones, one that was testosterone, all of my sexual desire and response was back in 2 weeks. As you get older, and not only as you get older, I know young people who, because of illness or because of medication, have some of the same issues that people have when they're older. But I have friends my age, because of different situations in their marriage, they can no longer make love. But, you know, I'm going to fight for it until God just says, this part is over. I talked with this precious woman whose husband has a brain tumor and is on myriads of medications. And she wrote me recently and she said, Linda, we can't have sexual intimacy anymore. But because we had such a beautiful intimacy for so many years, sitting together and holding hands and just telling one another how much we love one another is very satisfying. So there may come a time for many of us where this can't be a part of our marriage. But my philosophy is, you're going to fight for it. I had issues and I found answers. My husband has had prostate cancer and had his prostate removed. And I talked with 2 women. One of them said, well, we just knew after that kind of surgery that intimacy wouldn't work, so we didn't even try. I talked to another one that said, well, it's not like it was when we were young, so I'm not that interested. I said, well, God, I'm not going to be like either of those women. We're going to fight for this. And for 9 months, we couldn't have intercourse. But then God gave that back to us. Okay, so does it cost money to continue sexual intimacy as you get older? My hormones cost money. My husband has things that cost money. But it's important to both of us, so we fight for it. So I would say to this woman and to any of you who are in that stage, whether you are having issues or your husband, and you have, and many people who are younger have issues, ask God. First of all, do you pray about your intimate relationship with your husband? Do you get on your knees and open your hands and just say, God, you know this issue. You know this problem. And I don't know what to do about it. Would you speak? Would you lead me to someone who can help me? Don't give up. Ask God and ask him to speak, and call some doctors. Call an older woman and say, do you know anybody who can help? I believe I have opened these gifts. My husband's pornography has made it difficult. I have continued to give, but at times with reservation. We're in counseling. What boundaries should be in place? I enjoy sex. Sounds to me like that lady's doing pretty well. I don't know exactly what she means about the boundaries in passion pursuit. One of the weeks is on pure pleasure. And what does pure pleasure look like? And we ask the women in our church, Julie and I, we go to Rocky Mountain Calvary in Colorado Springs, and there were 60 women in our pilot study. And we said, what are your questions about sex? And they wrote them, you know, what sexual acts do you have questions about? And there were three at the top of the list. And it was about oral sex, anal sex, and sex toys. And so I went to my two friends who were the women's ministry directors, and I said, do you know what words I'm going to be saying out loud in church this week? And I said, is that okay? I just said them out loud in this church, and I didn't ask permission. Okay. But she said, I checked it with Eric, our pastor. He knows you're going to be saying words like that in church. I said, okay. But these are questions, and we answer from God's word. God doesn't say, wouldn't it be great if he listed every sexual act and then had yes or no and checked it in the Bible? That would make it really easy, but he doesn't do that. And what he does do is he sets out what he says no to. And that is in all of the books out there, but it's in Passion Pursuit. And God says in 1 Corinthians 6 that everything that God does not prohibit, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. And many things that are not specifically addressed in the scripture, God leaves up to an individual couple to go before him and to seek wisdom. Because what one Christian couple will say is beneficial for them, another Christian couple will say isn't. And we help you in that Bible study to work through that and to ask those questions and to know how with your husband to figure those things out. I will say I went to a friend in our church who's an emergency room doctor, and his wife's a PA, and I asked them, medically about anal sex, because this is a big, big question right now. Many, many people are asking it. And he looked at me and he was so cute and he said, well, I think that the answer is real simple. God made that an exit, not an entrance. I said, perfect! That's really good. And he said, and I have talked with other doctors, that that say the same thing, that this part of the body was not made to be an entrance and was not made for this kind of sexual activity because the tissues there are very different than the vaginal tissues. And they are very fragile and they tear very easily. And that is why so many STDs happen. It's why there's AIDS, because God did not make that to be used in that way. And so I liked what this doctor said. What we also help you with in Passion Pursuit is, okay, what if I believe God has said no to something, but my husband says, I think it's yes. How do you handle things like that in a marriage? That's just difficult. Okay, are you guys coming back tomorrow? All right, well, do you know what? You're supposed to be out of here by 9, and it's after 9, so let me just pray for you and go. I know all of you would have long days. Oh, my Father, your daughters have asked these questions, and I feel like there's just no way to even begin to get to them. And so I ask you to answer the questions that have been asked tonight. And I ask you to give peace and hope to your precious daughters. I ask you that tonight would be a beginning of their wanting to know your perspective, of them wanting to know how to love their husbands. God, would you answer them? Would you encourage them? And would you pour hope and healing onto your precious daughters? We just say to you, we love you. We worship you. And we long to understand how to really love our husbands. So would you please teach us? I thank you that all of this was your idea and that you want us to understand. So we just say thank you. And we love you. Amen. Thank you, ladies.
Ladies, we'll have some women up here to pray with you if you want prayer. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow morning. God bless you.